This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The South Dakota Senate Transportation Committee will now come to order. I would ask everyone to check their cell phones as a courtesy to the witnesses, the audience, and the committee. I'd ask that you either turn them off or put them on vibrate. Thank you. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Frisley.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Howey.
Here.
Klocek.
Here.
Maher.
Here.
Schmidt.
Here.
Valley.
Here.
All present.
All present today, so we have a quorum. The minutes have been provided in your black books, and the chair would entertain a motion on those minutes. Senator Frisley moves to approve. Is there a second? Senator Schmidt moves to second. All in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. On behalf of the chair, I'd like to welcome everyone that's in the audience here and in the on the internet world. We only have one bill today. Should be simple, as everyone smiles. What I will do, since I am the sponsor of the bill, I will shortly turn the chair over to the vice chair, and I will lose my job as traffic cop and become a proponent. We have two pages here. I'm going to have them introduce themselves here. Come up front and just tell who you are and where you're from.
Ryan Peterson, Hitchcock.
Teresa Flayhaven from Aberdeen.
All right. Thank you. If you do have any handouts, give them to the pages, and they will distribute them for you. If there is anyone that is going to testify this morning, make sure that you sign in at the podium by the door. And at this point, I'm going to turn the chair over to Vice Chair Schmidt.
Okay, today we'll be dealing with, of course, SB 201. Is there proponents?
Yes, there is. Could you pass these out to the members? One of you pass these out too. Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mike Valley. I am Senator from District 20. And this morning I want to talk to you about Senate Bill 201. When we started the discussion on this some time ago, I gave a quick review of what was in Senate Bill 201. And after talking with some of the members on this committee and other members, and also with people that are affected by Senate Bill 201, I have made some proposed amendments to Senate Bill 201, and I would like to have you, the first one, look at that. I'll tell you what that amendment does, and I would like you to have you make it part of that bill. The first amendment, and which was just passed out to you, is 201OA, and if it's all right, I would like to have you make that amendment at this time part of the bill, if that would be all right, Mr. Chair.
Is there a motion?
So I'll second.
Okay, Ryan Maher, and second by Mark Frisley.
If you'd like to take action, it'd be fine. I can explain if you'd like, I'll explain it first, and then you can take action. This amendment, the reason that I'm putting in this amendment is we were going to raise the initial proposal on 201 was to raise the gas tax by 1% at the wholesale rack. And I still say that is probably a good idea, but it might be a little ahead of its time. There are about 10 states that do something like this, and another 7 states that index their fuel tax that goes to their roads. But I think a lot of times anything that's new, it takes a while to catch on, and I think in some future time we may want to take a look at it. But in today's environment, I think everyone would feel more comfortable with knowing exactly what that tax amount is going to be. So what this amendment does, if you look at the original bill, it goes and it goes to Section 9, and it says in that section it deletes basically everything for the rest of the bill and inserts in there a 3-cent gas and fuel tax increase beginning this July 2009 and then another 3 cents in July 2010. So the aspect of doing it part now and part a year from now is still in there, as was the 1%. But instead of saying 1%, we're just going to increase it the 3 cents. And there are some blends that were a little bit different, and they were raised proportionately. So that is what Amendment 201-OA does. And I'd be glad to take any questions on that. But what we're doing is we're instead of saying 1%, we're saying 3 cents for both this year and the next year.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify, I think I understand, but just want to make sure that the rest of the bill remains the same. This just addresses Section 9.
That's correct. 9 and then
thank you.
Through the rest of the bill, yes. And you can either take action, or I would like to speak to the bill in that manner.
What is the first reaction? Is there any more discussion on this amendment, Senator Howey?
If it's appropriate, I'd move the amendment at this time. Has it been moved? Okay.
Okay. This time we'll take a roll call vote, a voice vote, and Secretary will call the roll. Oh, okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also have a second proposal, and I will hand that out at this time. And this I need to explain. When I first presented this bill, and in the bill is a provision that in 2010 we would remove the 30% discount for cars that are over 5 years old. And there were some that felt that we should keep something similar to that in the bill. So this amendment was drafted to take care of that, and I have spoke to several of you about that. What it does is it moves that 5 years to 15-year-old cars, and it takes it from 70% of that rate to 80%. Now, what this would do in that second year, it would raise about $10 million I think it's about 10.2. And leaving it as in the bill right now would raise about, where you take away the whole 30%, would raise about $13 million. I think it's 13.1. That means about $3 million to the counties. I thought it was less than that when I made that proposal, so I'm going to let the committee decide if they want to leave it as in the bill, which is doing away with the 30% reduction, or to make it as this amendment provides, after 15 years, we'd move it to 80%. And the reason I'm doing it this way and not being an advocate for this is I had talked to several people and people on this committee and said that I would offer that amendment. And the difference to the actual plate buyer has been estimated that that's going to be around $4 difference to those folks. And I'm thinking it makes $3 million difference to the counties, and I know what kind of shape they're in. And so after I got those numbers, I started to think maybe we should just do away with the entire 30% as is written in the current bill. But I had spoke to several of you about offering this amendment to it, so I do want to make sure that we do that so that we're being fair and let the committee make that decision. And that is Amendment 201 OE is that amendment. And you can take that up now, or we can do it at a later time, whatever you would prefer, Mr. Chair.
Is there any discussion on this bill or this amendment?
Make a motion that we move 201 OE.
We have a motion by Senator Maher and seconded by Senator Howey. Then where do we go from here then? Yeah. Is there any more discussion on this? Seeing none, all in favor say aye and all opposed say nay, and the secretary will take the roll. Just a voice vote then. All right. Okay. Listen here. All in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay.
All right.
Okay, motion carried.
Thank you, committee. As I go through the discussion today on Senate Bill 201, I want you to keep about four things in mind as we discuss this. The last time we raised the license plate registration rates and the gas tax was in 1999. Registration plate fees went up about an average of $12, and the gas tax went from 18 to 22 cents. That 22 cents today is worth, in road maintenance and road construction, about 13.5 cents. And that would be, that same percentage would be true for the counties, that $12, what it has gone down to its value. The second thing I want you to remember is our discussion on the stimulus package. Only goes for new construction. It doesn't buy any of the 3 million gallons the department needs, mowing of the ditches, putting in striping on roads, signage, road maintenance, patching, operations, personnel, buildings, and obviously the federal match. Third thing to keep in mind as we go through this is, remember, the gas tax goes for the state and the license plate registration goes for the local government. And the fourth is an editorial comment, and that is, South Dakota depends upon its roads for its economic viability. Basically, if you got it, it came to you by a road. I think the first thing we have to look at is does the local government and the Department of Transportation need the money? I mean, that's kind of the base. And I say, yes. You all have seen the information that has come out from the Interim Task Force on Highway Needs and Financing that was held this summer. It shows a need of $128.8 million. The local needs interim study report that Mr. Huff was here and talked to us showed an annual need of $80 million for the local governments, and that was $50 million just to keep even with where we're at now. The study shows that about 40 to 50% of the roads are in poor to fair condition, and nearly two-thirds of the bridges need some type of treatment or possible replacement. Another report came to us by TRIP, a nonprofit national transportation research group. They said the same thing. Our license plate fees are near the lowest in the nation. In fact, it's so low that people illegally try to register their vehicles in South Dakota. I want you to, I had a handout that I gave to everyone, and I just want you to take a quick look on that first page there, and it's a perceived adequacy of roads in the top right-hand corner, and it shows that the perception for counties of seriously inadequate or inadequate road surfaces, that's about 85 to 90% is what their perceived need is. They're saying that it's inadequate, seriously inadequate or inadequate. I think that's a cry for help. And I think if you look down on the same thing with the townships, that same number is nearly 50%. And you take those two in the cities or municipalities, it's up around 70 to 80%. So I think that tells the story that there is a cry for help. The second page that I in that handout, it talks about the road and bridge needs. And it said that if you read in that first paragraph, it said that there was a steady improvement from 1998 or 1999 to 2003 after we had that first increase. And then, as we know, the costs went up to do road work, and now they're falling behind. That second paragraph says, the condition of roads and bridges will deteriorate at current levels of investment. So I think that adds to the current cry for help from the counties. Now, let's look at the state side and say, have they done any cutting? I mean, are they being efficient? And that is page three of that handout that I gave you. And that's something that the secretary prepared for us and gave to us when he was here. I think you need to look at several of those things in there. One of them is that second one where it talks about suspension or reduction of programs. And if I was a secretary, I'd probably do the same thing. But what it's had is an effect on our local governments because they've had to do away with their 90-10 swap program for the counties. They had a reduction in the funds that were used for GFP park roads from $2 million down to $500,000. The next one is really crucial to our counties. Reduction in economic grants to local governments for assistance with road needs from $3.5 million, they cut it down to $1 million. So when you have a ethanol plant that's going in and we need some road repair in that area, they aren't going to be able to do that. This is where that program came from. And the reduction in the county striping assistance program. I think that was around $1 million, six in my mind. So those are things that, you know, you talk about trickle down, it's not trickling down anymore to the local governments. Have they done their other reductions? If you read that next part, it talks about how they have reduced overall capital outlay expenditures by 38%. What is that doing? It's building up a demand at some point because we're going to have to replace some of that equipment. Across the board reductions that he gave an example where travel expenses were reduced 11.29% and contractual services were 11.04%. The next page I want you to take a look at is the pie chart. Where's the money go? Big pie chart. 85% of it goes for highway construction and state highway maintenance. 3% goes to administration. I contend that's pretty good. You have buildings and equipment, 4%, and trust money not being spent on highways. And if somebody has a question on that, I'm going to have to ask the secretary because I'm not sure. But what I wanted to show in this particular pie chart was that the department is doing a good job and doesn't have a lot of money administration. Now, when they're doing these projects, where is the money going? Do we do a good job of keeping down our expenses? The next one, where I got these is from study that we had this summer on the task force with highway needs and financing. And I just picked out some of the charts. Next one shows preliminary and construction engineering costs, and it compares South Dakota to others. If you look where South Dakota is, it's far on the left-hand side, and this is comparing states in our region. You'll see the national average looks like it's somewhere around 14.5%. In South Dakota, it's down to around 6%. So we're pretty efficient there. The second one, roadway maintenance costs per mile. If you take a look at the left-hand side, South Dakota, North Dakota is cheaper than us in our area by a little bit. And then you look at the rest of them, and they continually mount up. Compare South Dakota with Minnesota. We're just below $5,000 a mile, and Minnesota is right at $25,000 a mile. Another show that South Dakota is running its department efficiently. Winter maintenance costs per mile is the next one. North Dakota and Montana are a little cheaper than us, but if you look at the rest of them, they're much higher than us. We're at, it looks like what, about $1,800 a mile, and Minnesota is at the other end of, looks about $5,300 a mile. The next one I think is interesting. It talks about winter maintenance items. From 2004 to 2008, what's it cost to have our Department of Transportation keep our roads open, and especially in the wintertime? And that's what this shows, is the increase in cost. Cutting edges, you know, that's on the plows. They've gone from $99 to $190. And that just gives some of the items that are in that particular area for winter maintenance items. And that's, as you know, no federal dollars can be used for that. That's why I'm showing this, is that's got to come from our state gas tax. Was there a question, Senator?
Yes.
Senator Valley, I appreciate the information, and it's obviously been well studied and well thought out, but a question in my mind, as we look at this, just for clarification's sake, we look at cost per mile, roadway maintenance, or any of the other figures. North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana are kind of low ball. Colorado and Minnesota are high ball. The cost per mile is one way to make us look really good, but cost per traveled mile, in other words, the number of cars on those roads would cause a higher maintenance cost, I would think, in those other states. So I think that the information we're getting, while helpful, might be a bit skewed if we looked at number of traveled miles.
And I would agree. I think that's a good point.
Just for clarification.
The one thing that we do have to remember is that we do have a lot of open space for the amount of people that are out there, and even though it is fewer people, you got to keep the snow off the road. So I would agree with you, Senator. The cost of asphalt is the next one for patching. You can see it's gone in 2004 from $50 a ton to 2008, about $93 per ton. And you got to remember, patching is... that's all state costs. Field equipment, backlog. In 2004, they figured they had a backlog of about $48 million. They've knocked that down to about $40.3 million. And to maintain their current backlog, it appears they need $12 million a year and $15 million to eliminate that backlog by 2018 if you kept working it down. So that just gives you some idea of what the deferred maintenance or deferred buying equipment does. I thought this one was interesting when I pulled it out. It's the pavement maintenance cost per mile. And if your road is in excellent condition, it costs $809 to keep it there. If it's in good condition, it costs $1,721. And if it's in fair condition, it costs you $2,300 to keep it there. So if, once it's in good condition, and I think we all agree with that, our cars or anything else, it costs less to keep it up than if you let it get into really poor condition. I can't answer, and we'd have to ask the secretary why it goes from fair to poor is a little bit less. I think at that point you're just kind of hoping to keep it going and maybe someday fix it up is probably the reason why that figure is like that. The next one is they'd done a survey in 2006, and they asked people, how should highway funding level for the next 5 years? What should they do? What should they change? And they gave them the options of increase, maintain, reduce, or don't know. I think what's interesting is 39% said increase, 44% said maintain where we're at. So that's 83% of the people saying either maintain or increase. And I think under the current scenario, we're going to have a hard time maintaining where we're at because, as the secretary said, we're in a preservation mode and trying to keep where we're at, and it's going to go downhill slowly. So just an indication of what the people think. And the last one is the chart that we've seen several times. It's the highway needs. And if you'll notice, the charts on the left are all state administration, field operation, and capital assets. Those things are all state. The only money that can come in there is state. And on the left-hand side, some of that can be federal with a state match to give you some idea of what the needs are. So that was just a quick review of what has been presented to the task force, and also some of those charts were presented to the committee. But I wanted to kind of give a quick background of those. I'm going to do a quick review of what's in Senate Bill 201. The first section, as you'll recall, is a $10 increase in the license plate fees. It's section 2 is for non-commercial motor homes. $10 for the first part, $20 for the heavier models. Section 3 was a $10 increase in the non-commercial motor vehicles. Section 4 was the trailers and recreational trailers, and that was $5 increase. Section 5 was a $5 increase for motorcycles and mopeds. Section 6 now has been amended to be the... Now, that the ones that I just talked about previously, those take effect this July. Now we can move to Section 6, and that is going to be deferred until July 2010. And that's the amendment we did today where we said the car gets a 20% discount if it is over 15 years old. The last section of the bill has been also been amended now, and that raises the gas and fuel tax by 3 cents starting this July 2009, and then in 2010 another 3 cents. I understand that this is tough. but that's what we're elected to do. And this situation is not going to get better with time. We are going to have some one-time money, but that's just what it is. It's one-time money. You've all seen the documentation of need. This proposal is not going to solve that, and neither is a stimulus package. But what we can do today is we can put a good-sized dent in starting to change that, and I'd urge the committee to join me in favorable consideration of Senate Bill 201 as amended. And with that, I would stand by for questions.
Is there any questions? Seeing none, committee discussion and or action? Public testimony. We have some public testimony.
Yeah, if anyone hasn't already.
We can have public testimony now if anyone has any additional things they'd like to say. Okay. Proponents first. Seeing none. Opponents.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Nancy Johnson with the South Dakota Beer Wholesalers, and I reluctantly rise as an opponent to this because I do recognize the need for additional highway funding. What I would ask you to consider is that this is not a very transparent tax. When we tax at this level, we embed that tax, and every time a consumer goes to the pump, they're going to pay that additional fee. Furthermore, every time they go to the cash register, they're going to pay that additional tax because every item that we use in South Dakota is transported. This is a significant increase in the transportation cost of our items. Thank you. I'd stand by for questions.
Is there any questions?
Good morning, Vice Chair, members of the committee. I have a handout that you could start with. I have a copy for the sponsor and the secretary, too. I'll address that a little later. First, my name is Steve Simpson. I'm from Mitchell, South Dakota. And yes, that's District 20, the same district that the sponsor of this bill is from. So I would like to start out my testimony by applauding the intent of Senator Valley's bill here. I do talk to the county commissioners, and I do travel roads, and there is a need for better maintenance of our roads. And in addition, as a fiscal conservative, I believe that one of the roles of a limited government is our roads. So this is an important issue, and I agree with the intent of the bill. Unfortunately, I disagree with how that is going to be done with this bill. As we all know, we are in the middle of a recession. Everybody's tightening their belts in the private sector. I'm a division controller for a manufacturer in Mitchell, South Dakota, and we are tightening our belts in any way we can, and certainly higher energy costs is not going to help the business sector in this recession, nor will it help the citizens who find themselves either laid off or dealing with pay cuts and whatnot. So that's why I disagree with the approach here of dealing with an important issue. I provide you guys with a handout. I'm a CPA and I have a master's degree in accounting, so I've taken the time to go through the state budget, and if I may explain, I will get to the Department of Transportation in the middle of the first page, but if you look at this analysis, first what I did was show the actual 2008 numbers that we actually used and by sources of fund. That's June 30th, 2008, year end. And then I show the appropriated 2009 that was passed by this legislature and then the current 2009 budget. And then I provide the original governor's proposal, then his revised proposal. And what's interesting is the variance columns. As an accountant in the private sector, when we're going through these tough times, we're looking for places to cut to survive. We don't look at budget to budget. We look at what was actually done a year ago and then look at the budget for areas where there are increases. So if you look at the versus 2008 column, that is the governor's revised proposal versus the actual year-ended 2008 numbers, and it's by general fund, federal funding, and others. If you go about halfway down the first page, you'll see the Department of Transportation. They actually spent about $400 million, of which $223 million was from the federal government. And if you look at the variance column, you'll see that, yes, the general fund is only going up 1.8%. But the federal funding is going up 39%. And Senator Valley did address the issue that the federal government's going to make us use the money for new roads, not for maintenance. And as a taxpayer on all levels, federal, I am a federal taxpayer, and I'm becoming a minority over the years, it seems like. But I do pay federal taxes, and I believe that I should take concern over the $87 million increase. And the word is that South Dakota is going to get about $183 million from the stimulus package over the next 2 years. So that increase is probably going to double. That means an 80% increase in federal funding for our roads, and all we can do is use it on new construction. We can't use it for what we already have. My friends, that's a problem that we need to grapple with, and we need to go fight for maintenance of our roads for our counties, and we must say to the federal government, hey, knock off the strings. We here in South Dakota know what's best with the money that you give us for our Department of Transportation. Let us determine how to spend that money. And that's why I come forward today, is I want to help fight the fight that Central Valley is fighting today. But I think we need to do it in a more fiscally responsible way at the federal state levels. I know that the best government is local government, and I have full faith in our counties to do the right thing. And they do need some help out there, my friends. But this is not the proper way of doing it, by in a recession, to increase taxes and fees on business sector and on the private citizens. The federal government is throwing a ton of money, and they're mortgaging our future in doing so. If you go to the second page at the very bottom, you'll see that the federal government is pumping 23% more funding, $250 million, into South Dakota versus the 2008 actuals. $276 million of federal funding that's going to be increased in our budget. In addition, you'll see that the general fund is also up $52 million. And where is that increase going? Well, if you go back to the first page, you'll see $26 million is going to the Department of Education. They are getting a 6%, I think a 6.8% increase in the general fund versus the 2008 actual. You go to the Department of Social Services, and they are getting $15 million more. That's a 5.8% increase. But yet the Department of Transportation is only getting a 1.8% increase. My question is, where is those increases going? And are those programs more important than our roads? That's what we need to find out before we make decisions on this bill and on this entire budget package. In the Department of Social Services, the governor cut the Birth to Three program, yet the funding is going up $15 million. Where are the increases going? The media does not cover that. They only talk about the cuts. So to promote what? More taxes and fees on us citizens? We need to find out, my friends, where are the increases going, and let the people know what those are, and then let us decide together where our priorities should be. Thank you very much for your time. I'll stand by for any questions.
Is there any questions for this speaker?
Well, appreciate you coming this morning and expressing this. I do want to ask the question, and maybe it's more of a statement, but I don't know how we would go about, since it has already been passed in law and signed by the president, that this is what the strings are and that it cannot be used for maintenance. It's got to be new construction. I don't know what we would do. Do you suggest we send this money back and not take any for construction and just say, no, we don't want this, and we want it for maintenance, and we aren't going to take it? And I'm just wondering, they would probably smile and say, thank you, we'll distribute this to California and Minnesota and wherever. That would be my guess. I can't speak for them, but this has gone through a long time. They decided this is what they're going to do with the money, and they got a coalition together. I don't know what you're asking us to do here to knock the strings off. Can you answer that?
Vice Chair, thank you. That's an excellent question, and I've been grappling with that myself. In fact, there's been some Republican governors who are threatening to not take the money because it's not going to stimulate the economy. It's going to be wasted. So, yeah, I think we should consider not taking the money. So what if other states want to waste it? I mean, by saying the opposite, we are being greedy with the money. And again, this is not money that we have. This is money that we are borrowing from future generations. So this is a serious issue, and we have to do some really crazy things, and that means turning down the money if we don't need it. If we don't need to build a new road, why take the money and just build a new road just to spend it? Yeah, it might create some jobs in the short run, but what is it doing to America in the long run? Cannot South Dakota, with Mount Rushmore as our symbol, do the right thing and say it's time for us to be fiscally conservative in this nation to fix the problem that's facing us today and not just keep throwing money at it and borrowing it, because that's not going to fix the problem long term. It may help some of us have jobs for a short period of time, but it's not going to help future generations by continuing to spend on projects that are not as important. They're nice, but they're not important. In this day and age, it's time for us to look at what is important. We, the private sector, are doing that. We look at what is important and cutting the stuff that's nice. If we are getting money for nice projects but not important projects, yes, we should consider not taking that money.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Howey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You've obviously spent a considerable amount of time crunching some numbers, and I want you to know, I think I speak for the committee when I say that doesn't go unnoticed, and we appreciate your effort. Rather than to have an extended dialogue in committee, I have some questions I'd like to ask you and like to visit with you sometime after the meeting just about some of the information that you've garnered as you've done your research, because some of it I think merits further conversation. Maybe not right here, right now, but I personally have some interest in some of the things you've discovered.
Mr. Chair, may I address that? Yes, I'll be around on Monday. I'll be back. I'll definitely open up my services as an accountant to help you folks understand what's in the detail, because the devil is in the detail. I'll be willing to help with that regard.
Very good. Thank you. Is there other questions of this? Thank you.
Steve, and I know you had mentioned it earlier. On your handout, that very first one, it says general budget. You go across versus 2008, it says, that last column says 3.6% decrease in general funds, 847% increase in federal funds, and 18.6% increase in other funds. That federal fund increase is huge. Can you account for that? I know I maybe refer that to DOT, but how do you account for that huge federal increase?
I have not done the work to find out where the money is going in detail. That work is yet to be done, and I can't answer that question this time.
Okay, is there anyone else who has any discussion material they'd like to bring forth? If not, we'll go to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman, is it appropriate for me to ask a question of Mr. Berquist, or am I too late for that?
Go ahead.
Okay. I was interested on page 3 of the handout that Senator Valley had under suspension or reduction of programs where the reduction in funding for park roads of $2 million was listed. That was reduced from $2 million to $500,000. And the question I have, and I'm not sure it can even be answered here this morning, but I feel like I want to at least pose it, and that is there's been discussion with regard to the parks. I'm thinking Custer State Park as an example, that perhaps the fees that are being charged to visitors to the state who use those state-owned facilities are perhaps not competitive. In other words, they're lower than those offered by surrounding area campgrounds. So I'm just curious if there's been any conversation about compelling GF&P to raise their rates on camping and other visitor sites, so that maybe they could pick up that other $500,000 and at the same time be fairly competitive with privately held enterprise. That's a long question, but...
Mr. Vice Chair, if I might, Darren Burke was Secretary for Department of Transportation. You know, one of the many thoughts that went into that reduction in those game fishing parks, the assistance that we were providing to them, was the fact that game fishing parks had the ability to generate some additional revenue from some other sources. Exactly how they're going about doing that is probably a question better for Secretary Bonk than myself. I am aware that they have been having discussions with their commission in terms of raising a number of their fees for their parks across the state. So.
Is there any more discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Well, I want to commend Senator Valley for bringing this forward. He's put his heart and soul in this, I know, through the summer, through the interim committee, and I think it's brave of him to bring this forward in a time when we are short of money. But I think he's forward-looking into the future that the stimulus package does not cover our maintenance, and we probably need something like this to forge ahead. And he's been very gracious in his amendments to change with people's wishes to make something like this work. So I think I'd like to see this move to the floor.
Okay, we have a Okay, we have a motion by Senator Hansen, seconded by discussion.
I'm wondering to myself, and that's always probably better to wonder to myself than wonder out loud, but we've got a little time this morning, so I'm going to indulge you all, or make you all indulge me. The comment was made, Senator Valley, you suggested that this isn't going to get any better, and I think if we don't do anything with our roads, they aren't going to get any better. But economically, if we don't think things are going to get better, what in the world are we doing spending all this money on the federal spending program and other things? The point is, we're talking about raising fees and raising taxes, and I'm just thinking, I like to begin with a premise that things may get better, and so I'm pondering offering an amendment that would somehow sunset this thing in the event that revenues reach a certain level, so that we don't end up with a tax that we're and I see some people bobbling their heads up and down, some side to side here, but so that if we impose a tax and increase fees, and we do see recovery, that we don't just add it to the fat of government, that it keeps us mean and lean. So that's all of my thoughts for the moment.
Senator Chisley.
Well, you know, I certainly agree with Senator Howey, but I think right now with our backs to the wall and with the time constraints that we have here, we need to consider keeping something alive. This is the only bill that we have that can help out the counties and that, and we can always change it. We can always look at putting amendments on it or changing it on the floor, or if it goes off the floor over in the House. And I personally would like to see this bill passed out of committee in the form that it's in. And if we need to make adjustments on it, go ahead and do that later. But our goal today, I think, I may not agree 100% with the way it's worded. Maybe there will be something better come along. Maybe there will be other things that show up. But I think today our goal should be to keep this alive and to pass it on. So.
I'm just going to make a quick comment to what Senator Howey said. When I said it's not going to get better, I didn't mean that the economy won't get better. I have several investments. I hope, my gosh, that it does get better. So I'm not a pessimist. It may take longer than what I would like, but what I meant is our road situation is not going to get better, and that by ignoring it and putting our heads in the sand, that is not going to get better. And that's what I meant, Senator. I didn't mean that the economy hopefully will get better. It's just when. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion?
This will be a very short rambling. I'm going to support the bill, not because I like it and not because I necessarily even agree with it in total, and I may, when if it comes back to us from the House, I may look at offering some kind of a sunset amendment. But I think Senator Frisley is right that to tinker with it this morning is probably not wise. I think we need to continue the conversation, and so I'm going to support the bill this morning.
Any more discussion? We have an amendment, a do-pass amendment, and that's been seconded. Okay. Those in favor, say aye. Those opposed, say nay. And the secretary will call the roll.
Senators Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Howey?
Aye.
Klocek?
No.
Maher?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
6-1.
Okay. This bill has been passed. 6-1.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move a title amendment since we changed the 1% to a straight 3% tax. We need to change the title. That's 201 OTA. And I would like to move that at this time to change the title.
Okay. Motion made to change the title. Is there a second? Senator Frisley? A voice vote. All in favor say aye.
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 All against, say nay. The amendment was passed by a 6-0 vote. What else?
Okay. All right. Thank you, Vice Chair. Good job. I want to thank the committee for their indulgence and having to suffer through me again this morning. And I appreciate Senator Hansen's remarks that I am passionate about it, and I appreciate the support of the committee, and we will pass it on to the floor. We will meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock. I think that's a good time. And we'll have three bills that we will have on the docket then. And with that, I would enter. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Senator Klocek.
Mr. Chair, I just want to commend you for your passion and your fairness, and you're doing what you believe is right, and I commend you for that.
Thank you, Senator.
We have to do something with these roads. Is this the answer? I don't feel it is at this time, but I do think there are some opportunities out there. So thank you very much. You did a very good job.
Thank you, Senator. Any other further comments from the committee? If not, the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Senator Klocek, seconded by Senator Maher to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned.